I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. Today, a conversation with the leaders of some programs for Baltimore City kids that have them playing sports as a way of improving their performance in the classroom. The Tender Bridge mentors high-risk youth in East Baltimore and teaches them how to play hockey. Squashwise is a program that brings city students to college campuses for squash tournaments, helping them set their sights on their post-high school education and career paths. Soccer Without Borders Maryland works with refugee and immigrant youth in Baltimore City and Prince George's County. And B360 uses dirt bikes as a launching point for STEM education and job training. We'll learn about these programs. Plus, theater critic J. Wynn Russick reviews A Wonder in My Soul at Baltimore Center Stage. That's all coming up when Midday starts right after the news. Good afternoon and welcome. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us today. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommend that children and adolescents participate in at least an hour of physical activity every day. Time to do that during the school day is often limited as gym class joins the ranks of art and music and other classes that many schools are no longer offering. But we've known for a long time that exercise benefits young and old alike. Today on Midday, we're going to be introduced to a few different youth programs that are propelling kids in Baltimore toward academic success. They are playing hockey, soccer, and squash, and they're even riding dirt bikes and finding out that in these activities, they can learn a lot in and out of the classroom. My guests today are Noel Acton. He's the founder and director of the Tender Bridge. That's a nonprofit that supports high-risk inner-city kids in East Baltimore through mentoring programs and hockey. Noel, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Abby Marco is the founder and director of Squashwise. Kids learn how to play squash while setting their sights on their post-high school education and career paths. Abby, good to see you.
Great to be here.
Emily Sherman is the director of Soccer Without Borders Maryland. They work with refugee, asylee, and immigrant youth in Baltimore City and Prince George's County. They provide after-school academic, English language, and family engagement programs. Emily, good to see you.
Thanks, Tom. Happy to be here.
And Brittany Young runs B360, an organization that uses dirt bikes to create opportunities in STEM education and job training. Brittany, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And listeners, if you have some ideas, if you'd like to learn more about any or all of these programs, if you want to give us your comments and questions about youth sports programs and how it's related to academic performance, our number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. You can drop us a tweet at @MiddayWYPR. And you can also catch us on the WYPR Facebook page where we are streaming our conversation. So Emily Sherman, for Soccer Without Borders, let me start with you. Give us a little thumbnail sketch about the kinds of programs that you're offering and the kinds of kids you're working with.
Okay, sure. So Soccer Without Borders serves refugee, asylee, and immigrant students here in Baltimore. And as you mentioned, we're also in Prince George's County and expanding to Baltimore County. We provide year-round programming for students. Our year-round programming in middle school is every day after school, providing soccer, where we are not only teaching soccer skills, but integrating English. So students are learning new words, practicing new skills, and building team and community with their other teammates and classmates. We also provide daily academic support through homework help, reading support, mathematics, whatever it is the students need. We have tutors and volunteers that help them with their daily homework. For high school students, we're also doing English language integrated soccer and helping them with college applications and whatever other individualized support they need. Lastly, we have a family mentor program that matches individual volunteers with families, and again, supporting them with adjusting to Baltimore and making them feel welcomed here in their new community, taking them to places around the city to get to know their new home.
Yeah, that's great. Now, when it comes to language skills, I would imagine that your clientele, they don't all speak the same language either. I mean, English is one thing, but they probably don't even speak the same language as each other, right?
Yeah, so we serve students from almost 40 countries who speak over 20 languages, but the common language is soccer, and that's kind of how we started and came together over the global game and the love of the sport. So even though students may not be able to speak the same language, they're all playing the same sport and learning the new language of English.
That's really great. And Brittany Young, you're using dirt bikes to say, hey, this dirt bike, it may be fun, it may be kind of cool, but it's also a way of learning STEM stuff. Tell me how your program is structured.
Thank you. So I'm from Baltimore. So, of course, like our sound of summer is a dirt bike. But, you know, it can be controversial. So we're actually on the side, too, of trying to get more people off the streets. And that was through programming. So most students grow up knowing everything about a dirt bike, from the engine to the throttle to the thrust, anything you could imagine. Popping a wheelie is a physics equation. So we actually hone on those skills. So we work with elementary and middle school students and dirt bike riders to teach them how to build, code, design, 3D print, model size bikes. In the summertime, we take them off the streets to create safe riding spaces, but to also repair and build their own bikes. So we're really focused on how students in Baltimore, like me, and around the country and actually around the world are naturally geniuses and have talent, but also how can we release our stress in a positive, safe environment and then just keep growing.
And that's really cool. Popping a wheelie is a physics equation.
Yes.
I mean, so this is something they know how to do.
Yep.
And then you're just simply sort of channeling what they already know how to do into terms that are that resonate with STEM education.
Yes, and vice versa. So growing up, you never have like something that's culturally relevant to you to teach STEM education. That was my biggest issue. So it's how can we get more students like me into STEM fields, especially as like Baltimore and other cities are becoming tech hubs. So that means Miami, Detroit, Chicago, Cleveland, they also all ride dirt bikes too. So how can we stay in these positions, but also just keep growing as the city changes as well?
Yeah, B360 is the name of that program. And Noel Acton, it's not hard to imagine kids being hip to dirt bikes, but your program has kids from East Baltimore playing hockey. Now, I know there are some African-American hockey players in the NHL, maybe three or four of them or something.
Very few.
Yeah, very few. But boy, how did you decide to team kids up with hockey skills?
Well, you start them when they're young, and they're willing. In East Baltimore, there's not a whole lot for kids to do. And you offer them something, and they love it. And it's very easy to recruit them off the street. We do our recruiting right off the street and not, through schools or anything. We just do direct off the street, stopping at the kids' houses, talking to the moms, and bring them in. And when you bring them in young, they get involved, and then it's a cool sport. They love it.
Yeah.
You know.
And how often do they get together and play hockey?
This is weekly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This year we just started a new program, which we added a Sunday hockey program for older kids that haven't necessarily had that early experience, but they see their buddies doing it, and all of a sudden, hey, that looks good, you know, and they're, you can do this.
Yeah. Word of mouth.
Yeah. It's all word of mouth. And, uh-huh. 2 years ago, we had two kids that were working on the corner, and I was driving down there, and I stopped and talked to them. I said, you know, I have a hockey program. You guys ought to try it. They said, okay. Surprised me. They came in. They just crashed around, fell down, got up, fell down, got up, fell down, got up. And now they're two of our better players.
Yeah, that's great.
It's something that all of a sudden it distinguishes them from the normal kids that are hanging out on the corner.
Yeah.
And this is something I can do. Builds a lot of self-esteem and self-confidence.
Yeah, when it comes to ice skating, whether you're playing hockey or doing anything else, falling down is definitely part of the deal.
Well, the neat thing of hockey, you have all this equipment on. You fall down, it doesn't hurt. They go off charging.
The whole thing about falling down is you get to get up.
Yeah.
That's good. Brittany, I neglected to ask, how often are you meeting with your kids? How frequent is the program? Emily's talking about every day after school. How about you?
That is a great question. So we actually can get rid of ours in a great way. So we do a pop-up experience. So that can be once a week, once a month, almost every day. But our full program is at least 40 hours during academic year. And then all summer is B360. Since we don't have a major space, we have to actually come to schools and organizations. So we do a lot of pop-ups. So far we work with going on 4,000 students.
Wow.
In
terrific.
18 months.
That's terrific. And Abby Marco, squash is another sport that's not generally associated with African Americans or kids from cities. I mean, that's kind of a country club suburban thing. But you do work with schools, don't you? You're joined at the hip with a couple of them.
We are. We are partnered with KIPP in Park Heights. We start our students in 6th, 7th, or 8th grade, and they continue in the program through high school. We continue supporting them through age 25 as they enter their post-secondary college and career placements. Squash-wise, meet 6 days a week. We combine squash and fitness coaching with academic tutoring. We have a counselor, a professional counselor on our staff. We travel to all over the country. Students traveled to 19 different states this past year for tournaments and college visits. We have one-on-one mentors, especially during junior year, which is the most important year for our students to be looking at colleges. We're really, you know, beyond all of that stuff, we're kind of based on the model, the idea that having a consistent, caring coach or adult figure in a young person's life is the single most thing that's going to make the difference for their stability later in life.
Yeah, and when they travel, they go like for the weekend, right? And they live in a dorm in a college mm-hmm. campus. So just that experience alone, I would imagine, is new to many of your younger kids.
That's right.
And that just sort of opens up a whole bunch of horizons.
It's a whole different experience. You can go on a college visit for the day, but when you spend the weekend at a place like Kenyon College, Williams College, Amherst College, it's a completely different eye-opening experience for our students. They are, as you said, they're competing on the squash courts on those campuses. They're living in the dorms, eating in the cafeteria, and it just is an immersive experience that gets our students comfortable at a very early age with that idea of going away someplace for college.
Is SquashWise a national thing?
It is. SquashWise is a local organization. We're independent, but we are part of a national body called the Squash and Education Alliance. So we're 10 years in. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary. But the very first program like ours started in Boston in 1996. So there's 19 member programs, and we compete against each other all across the country.
That's what I'm asking. So who's the competition? So you go to others, you go to Kenyon College or Amherst or something, and then there's other squash programs from other cities. So they're meeting kids from all sorts of places.
Correct.
Around the
yeah,
country
San
too.
Diego, Denver, Chicago, New York, lots of different places. And we also play, in addition to against those teams from other peer programs, we're playing in sanctioned U.S. squash tournaments as well as local matches here in Baltimore.
Good for them. And Emily Sherman, you're dealing with kids who are from refugee families, kids from families seeking asylum. Immigration, of course, high on everybody's mind these days because the current administration has a very different posture towards integration than the last several have had. Are your kids at risk? I mean, is the fact that, you know, federal authorities know that you're meeting, know that you're there? I mean, have you had any visits from ICE to say, you know, we know that these children are going to be in a certain place in a certain time on a certain day? Is that a concern?
Luckily, we haven't. And operating in partnership with Baltimore City Schools, we don't ask any questions of our students in terms of immigration status. We really just ask for approval from parents, you know, a little bit of medical history, emergency contact information. So we don't ask any other questions. As long as they are learning English as a second language, we welcome them to participate in our program. You know, our kids deal with the same sort of struggles that any other middle school kids deal with. You know, whether that's family, bullies, academics, things like that. So there are these external national factors at play as well, but we really just see them as any other middle school kid in Baltimore City and help them with any day-to-day struggle that they're having.
Yeah, being a middle school kid is tough, whether you're from Syria or, you know, Harlem Park or, you know, Guatemala. I mean, Brittany Cooper, the kids, or Brittany Young, I'm sorry, Brittany Cooper's another buddy of mine. But the kids that you're working with, mm-hmm. But you've got this extra dimension of dirt bikes and the legality of the aforementioned bikes, you know? I mean, because there's a whole lot of people in communities that are really, they hate the dirt bikes. These kids, you know, are popping wheelies all over city streets and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a controversial thing, you know?
So
how do you handle that?
So we're on the side of positivity and solutions. So our students are very straightforward that we have the same goals, which is to get rid of people that ride in traffic. So there's nothing wrong with popping a wheelie in a safe space or on asphalt in a closed off area. And that's what our program focuses on. So we do STEM education, but we also focus on riding safety and skills training, which is we work directly with like police officers. We work with community members. We work with older riders with the goal of making, you know, zero people that ride on the streets. we just don't want our students to go to jail for what they like, but how can we explore career and potential like recreational opportunities? So even being on this panel, most people wouldn't consider urban street riding as a sport. So that was really good that I'm on this side of like, we're looking at it as a sport now. And that's really through our students and their voices. So I think people never knew that dirt bike riders don't have a demographic. So my youngest student, she's 5. She's been riding since she was 3. My oldest person.
You have a 5-year-old riding a dirt bike.
Yeah, she came to me riding a dirt bike. And most of my students, they started as 5 and 6. They knew everything about a dirt bike inside and outside. Just no one explained that it's okay to pop a wheelie, just not in the streets.
So where do you actually have the kids ride then? I mean, what is a safe space? That's do you use parking lots of schools or what do you use?
So when we use bigger bikes, so that over 40 cc's, we have to go out of the city. So we go to St. Mary's County, which is far. When we use smaller dirt bikes, that's why we're limited to elementary and middle school students. We can take over a gym. We've done some stuff at a rec center. We block off streets. So we actually create the spaces as we go around to make sure we're not in traffic, to make sure we're giving the students the opportunity. And then we're on the side of the vehicle of change is a dirt bike, but it's not all about dirt bikes. It's about education. So me educating more people about students that ride dirt bikes, but also our students being exposed to what you do is already a talent, is a skill. So we're just going to elevate this to the next level and acknowledge that you are a genius so we can pipeline you into STEM.
And Noel Acton, mentoring is a really fundamental dimension of what you all are doing. I mean, there's a lot of one-on-one contact.
Absolutely. One of the things we try and do is develop a sense where each of the hockey players feel that one of the coaches is their personal coach, and we have the coaches pick them up. We have a big cadre of coaches, and we assign the coaches different players to pick up every day, and we all go out to lunch afterwards. We always take the kids out for a meal after a practice, and it just builds family. One of the big successes was earlier this year, one of the head coaches said, you know, we haven't had a fight in 4 years. You know, and the kids have really developed a sense of family where they knit together and support each other. Replaces being in a gang.
Yeah, terrific. I'm so glad that all of you are here. And when we come back from a break, we're going to talk more about this. We are talking about youth sports programs that aim to help kids improve their performance in school. Abby Marco is the executive director of SquashWise. Her kids travel to college campuses around the country to play in tournaments and get a taste of what college might be like. Noel Acton is the founder and director of the Tender Bridge, which has high-risk youth in East Baltimore playing hockey. Brittany Young is the founder of B360. She gives workshops using dirt bikes to teach young people STEM concepts and bike safety. And Emily Sherman, she works with refugee and immigrant youth as the director of Soccer Without Borders Maryland. They are doing great work. You are welcome to join our conversation when we come back. 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org. You can drop us a tweet @midday WYPR. If you want to follow me on Twitter, that is always highly encouraged. It's @TomHallWYPR. And we are also streaming our conversation from Studio A on the WYPR Facebook page. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is your public radio, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Coming up tomorrow, Helicon and friends are going to join me live here in Studio A. It's for our annual preview of their concert on Saturday. It's a Christmas tradition here on Midday. We hope you'll join us for some great live music with Helicon and Charm City Junction and a few other assorted guests tomorrow on Midday. We'll also be streaming that on the WYPR Facebook page like we are streaming today's conversation. If you're just joining us, we're talking about several youth sports programs in Baltimore that help kids succeed both academically and personally. The Centers for Disease Control report that physical activity can help improve academic achievement, including grades and standardized test scores. And by the way, Johns Hopkins University has just published a new study from the Bloomberg School of Public Health that says increased motor activity is linked to improved mood. They used people in a study from ages 15 to 84, so it doesn't matter whether you're a kid or not. If you're out there moving around, you're going to be in a better mood. Brittany Young is the founder of B360. She uses dirt bike education workshops to teach young people about STEM and bike safety. Emily Sherman works with refugee and immigrant youth as the director of Soccer Without Borders. Maryland Abby Marco directs SquashWise. It's a nonprofit that works with Baltimore youth to learn squash and to become college ready. And Noel Acton is the founder and director of The Tender Bridge, a mentor and hockey program in East Baltimore. You can join our conversation, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWIPR. And as I mentioned, we are streaming on the WIPR Facebook page. Abby Marco, with the kids playing squash, they're brand new to squash when they start, right, I would imagine. And when they learn squash, that's an individual sport. I mean, the thing that Emily's doing is soccer. You know, you're a part of a team. So how does the sense of community, the sense of camaraderie get developed when you're playing one-on-one or two-on-two?
Yeah, that's a great question. So squash, absolutely an individual sport. You're playing one-on-one against an opponent. So you only have yourself to blame if you're, you know, frustrated or letting the anger get ahead of you. But the other really neat thing about squash, especially at the junior and collegiate level, is that you're both playing for yourself, but you're also playing for a team. So we have a middle school team and a high school team, and we compete against the independent schools in the area at the same age levels. And it's really neat when you're at a team tournament. You might lose your match, but if you win the majority of the matches from your team match, your team wins. So we certainly do a lot to foster those relationships between our students as team members first and foremost, even though they are playing an individual sport.
And when they go to the colleges for these tournaments, do they have a lot of interaction with college kids themselves, the kids that are a little bit older than they are?
Usually when we visit for the tournaments, it's actually during college breaks, which is how they have the place for us to stay in the dorms.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we certainly do tours with students on those campuses. But where we actually have much more interaction with college students is here in Baltimore. We practice 3 days a week at the Johns Hopkins Rec Center at Homewood and twice a week at Loyola University's Fitness and Aquatics Center. And there we have college tutors. There's a community service fraternity that helps us at Hopkins. We have plenty of relationships with Hopkins Entity School of Education, School of Medicine, School of Nursing, and as well as the University of Maryland Med School. So they're definitely interacting on a day-to-day basis with college tutors and college mentors.
Yeah, they're meeting all sorts of people. That's cool. And Emily Sherman, you all work pretty closely with the IRC, the International Rescue Committee. That's an organization that, you know, helps families settle when they come to Baltimore. And there are a lot of families coming to Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore is a place that is a destination for a lot of folks. I know Liz Bowie in the Baltimore Sun a year or so ago did a piece about a high school.
The Patterson students.
Patterson,
yeah.
And then there's, I don't know, 40-something languages spoken at that one school. So what's your relationship with the IRC, and how do you complement each other?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, the IRC is a resettlement agency. So they are the first and direct contact for families who are coming here from their home countries or from the, you know, their previous country. It may not have been their home country. And so they do a tremendous amount of great work in terms of intake, getting all of the necessary information from those families. And then if those families have students who are school-aged, particularly middle and high school, they will ask if they have any interest in soccer, and if so, refer them to us. So we have a great relationship. As soon as students come to school, they're usually showing up at Soccer Without Borders the same day, which is awesome. If they haven't already heard about it from their classmates, which also happens, if they're not referred to us through IRC, some of their classmates will probably say, you have to come to Soccer Without Borders. You know, it's for all of us newcomer students.
Well, you know, I mean, that's a great leading question. Do you want to play soccer?
Yeah.
I mean, how many people are going to say, no, not my thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather
read
Shakespeare.
It's such a common sport across all cultures that it's, you know, even if people aren't the best soccer player, it's something that they do have some interest in and want to join a team.
Yeah. And Brittany, I would imagine that your relationship with these children is different. It's unique. Different from the relationship they have with their teachers at school or even with their moms or dads. I mean, you have, because of who you are and what you're doing and the activity that you're guiding them through, you have a really unique and interesting perspective. I mean, talk about how you get to know these kids and in the ways that you found that, you know, you've been able to reach them and teach them stuff.
I think it's actually the opposite. I am like their mom, their teacher, their big sister, but I'm also them. So it's kind of, I identify because I'm from the same schools, the same neighborhoods, same communities. So that's like our entry point is I don't ride dirt bikes. Yeah, you know, I'm an enthusiast, but we also acknowledge that it shouldn't be in traffic. So more importantly, they identify that we've come from the same zones and the same places. So that's our entry. But no, most of my students consider me their mom. I also taught some of them too. So our relationship is really that they heard me listen to them and vice versa. So we have a dual learning relationship. They teach me everything and anything about dirt bikes, and I teach them anything and everything about how these relate to STEM. And then our common language is that we have the same empathy for one another.
What was your personal pathway to STEM? How did you get excited about science?
That's a great question. When I was in first grade, I had like Bill Nye the Science Guy. So I saw him on TV and I was like, boom, that's going to be me. And then I wanted like chemistry sets. I blew my eyebrows off before. And I was what you would consider like, you know, a quote unquote, like bad kid, you know, one of those labels. But it was really, I was bored in school and I needed to find something that I honed into, like my students. So they love everything about dirt bikes. And just like, I learned to love everything about like chemistry and like random science stuff. But it had to be a teacher, and I was their teacher, that captured my attention and showed me what I was doing was smart and it was genius. And in the same way for them, it's just someone listened to me and then I listened to them and vice versa.
Yeah, so you're coming from the same place and,
yeah,
and you're leading them to a different place maybe.
Yeah. Same and more.
Yeah.
So they'll still ride dirt bikes at 18 and 19, but they'll also now be in STEM in different ways. So with engineering, you know, it's a way of thinking. So cognitive reasoning skills that can take you further. And that's the one thing we hone on to is how can we allow this educational principle to grow and develop your talent, your skills inside and outside of the classroom.
We have a comment on email from Dee who says, I'd like to also tell you about an awesome program in Baltimore that my son's involved in called Reach High Baltimore, which provides year-round rowing after school and summer training and racing programs, developing teamwork and discipline and strong preparation for college, career, and life. Rowing or crew is also a program that typically does not have a lot of diversity. Thus, it is wonderful to see such a diverse group of middle school and high schoolers participating in this program. That's great. Thanks for that email, Dee. And Noel Acton, there's a lot of one-on-one attention in your program. So that it seems to me that that's going to require you to recruit an awful lot of volunteers, an awful lot of people who know hockey and can get involved. How do you do that?
We have one of our board of directors is really good at recruiting coaches. I'm recruiting the kids. He recruits the coaches. And we have a really good proportion of coaches, like maybe one coach for three kids when we do hockey. So they're really well supported. And it's not just for the 1 hour. It's, you know, you pick up the kids, you talk with them while they're driving to the hockey.
And this is mostly like Saturday mornings and
stuff? Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings. And the coaches get involved and follow up more during the week with things that are going on with them. When they have issues, they have somebody, an adult, to talk to. Personally, I've gotten very involved with a number of the kids. I have a couple living with me right now and such like as that.
Yeah, good for you. And how many coaches are you talking about? How many people you got volunteering in your organization?
We have like 18 coaches.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah. And Brittany, it sounds like you're doing an awful lot of this on your own, right? Do you have a whole big staff? Or you got a bunch of folks working with you?
We don't have staff. We're working on fundraising. So if there are ways that people want to, you know, contribute so we can have staff to do more, that would be great. But we enlist, like, older riders that no longer ride in traffic. So they become the mentors, the coaches. And then we do a lot of trainer-trainer. So, of course, we're in K-12 pipelining for STEM. But we're also on the other side of, we also teach ex-dirt bike riders how to build, code, design, 3D print, and work with our students.
Oh, yeah.
So we can also get them into STEM. So a lot of our quote-unquote workforce is older riders that don't ride in the streets anymore.
Yeah, and Emily, how many kids are involved in your program? It's a pretty big program.
There's a lot of people
playing soccer down there in Patterson Park.
Yeah, well, last year we actually reached almost 500 students in some way, shape, or form throughout all of our programs. We have About 70 regularly every day at our biggest middle school program, and they're the ones who do play at Patterson Park on Fridays. And then we invite other local schools to play with us. So Patterson Park Public Charter, Hampstead Hill, Highlandtown 215, all the schools around the park are joining our soccer league and playing with our kids as well.
So how many coaches do you have then? How many people do you have to, you know, to oversee all this?
We have about 5 coaches on staff, but then we have a tremendous amount of volunteers as well. We have probably about 100 volunteers. Mm-hmm. From Loyola, from Towson, from UMBC, from UB, who some have stepped up and, you know, put in way more than what they thought they were going to do for their service learning hours and are coming, you know, many days a week to be with the kids.
Yeah. And Abby Marco, with SquashWise, there's an academic requirement, isn't there, to stay in the program. This is something that people, once they start it, they really like it and they do it, but they got to earn their spot each week, huh?
That's How's right. That yeah. So we have every time the kids come, they play both squash and they get tutoring for their homework. We also do enrichment. We've done civics lessons. We've had speakers come in. We do, you know, healthy relationships, things like that. It's really a holistic program helping kids with every aspect of their lives. So the nuts and bolts, of course, are squash and tutoring, but we use those as platforms to deliver, you know, a whole other level of support to our students. And we have 8 staff members, 8 staff positions. 2 of them are direct coaching positions and 2 of them are academic coaching positions. So we have one person who's for our high school academics, one person for middle school academics, and as I mentioned, a professional school counselor on our staff as well. So we really try to deliver lots of different types of interventions to our students.
And you mentioned in the first part of the show that you work with the KIPP school, Kipujima Academy. So the fact that you definitely are partnered with this particular institution as well as some other places, I would imagine that that's a very complimentary thing. Then what you're doing, you can talk to the teachers at KIPP to see what they're doing during the day.
That's right, and we do that. Yesterday, our high school academic coordinator was at Bard, one of the high schools that many of our students go to. Our middle school coordinator is at KIPP with the teachers. They see us as assets and resources rather than people bothering them for data or for whatever. They know that we're supporting what they're doing in the classroom, and the KIPP relationship has been wonderful. We've been with them for 5 years. We are really part of the KIPP family. We have a whole brand there among students and parents. And KIPP is a very large school. So they really are appreciative of having the extra support from, they have many partners, but SquashWise being one of the most intensive that they have.
Yeah. And Noel Acton, when people hear about these great programs, and all 4 of these programs mm-hmm. are just phenomenal, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of listeners mm-hmm. saying, boy, I wish they could do more of that. Their first instinct is, well, how will we scale this up? So you've got mm-hmm. 15, 18 coaches or something, you're working with kids one-on-one, that's a very difficult thing to scale up. So all of a sudden it's 200 coaches or something, whatever it is.
It is difficult. The trick is to get the coaches to buy into working with these kids. And more than, they initially come thinking, well, I'm teaching hockey. You know, I know how to skate, I'll teach them hockey. And they rapidly realize that these kids need a lot more than hockey, and that's what the kids are really there for. It's the hockey's fun, but it's the support that they get. And one of the things we try to do is carry that support year round. We have a sailing program in the summer that we run with Baltimore County Sailing Center out there, and the same kids will move from hockey. In the spring, they'll do spring football, and we'll support, go to the practices and support the kids there, merge into the summer sailing sessions, then fall football, and then back into hockey. So it's a year-round thing where we maintain contact with the kids and stay really connected with them.
Yeah, and Brittany Young, there's been a conversation for a while now about the city mm-hmm. creating dirt bike spaces that mm-hmm. are safe and that are off-road so that people can ride dirt bikes safely. I mean, where does that stand? I'm sure you follow that a lot more closely than I do. And do you think that that's a good idea? Is that one of the approaches to the dirt bike situation here in Baltimore that you think would be effective?
So I'm actually on the Mayor's Dirt Bike Task Force. That's one of our conversations about elevating the work that we do on B360 because we create those spaces. But around like pedestrian and highway safety and, you know, creating a park. So it's myself, Councilman Pinkett, you know, the Dirt Bike Police Task Force. So we work really intimately together. And for me, the answer is yes and Tom. Just it has to be like the most equitable. So when we look at like the skate park of Baltimore, it's free, it's open space, and people can easily access it, but also easily transport their skateboard there. I think the larger issue in Baltimore is that right now laws are very restrictive because of the misdemeanor for possession of a dirt bike, unless it's locked away. It's a misdemeanor for rotten on public property and private property. So we just have to look
at... So one of the issues would be if you get a safe space to ride dirt bikes, how do you get the dirt bike there?
Exactly.
Because it's illegal to ride it there and then legal to ride it while you're there. That's tough.
So it's, you know, how can we just better work together or rework the system so that everyone wins? And so for us, we're in that middle group of we have students that are on either side of just riding or on law enforcement. So we work with both groups to meet in the middle of how can we just make it the most equitable space that works for everyone. And two, to acknowledge that not all people will use the space, but we've proven we have at least 4,000 in less than 18 months that will, and we'll only just have more as we acquire more funds and scale. So just letting people know there are people that will use a space and we need a space, but we just want to make sure it's done equitably. Yeah,
4,000 people.
Students, yes.
Kids, right?
Yeah, in 18 months.
Yeah, that's incredible. 4,000 kids in a year and a half. Yeah. Yes. I bet it's terrifying to you. It's impressive as heck to me.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's only going to be more. So without us, they would ride in the streets, you know. So with us, we create spaces and make sure we get them into STEM and opportunities, and we create jobs.
And Emily Sherman, are the kids in your program also interacting on a regular basis with kids who are not immigrants, who are not asylum seekers, or, you know, who are Native Americans or, you know, American nationals?
Yeah, so some of the students in our program who are very recently arrived are in ESOL classes all day long. They're in what's
called English as a second language.
I'm sorry, English as a second language classes all day long. So they're with all newcomer students, but obviously the goal for them and for all students who are learning English is to then place out of those classes and be in the mainstream classes with other Native-born American and, you know, other Baltimore kids. So we have the spectrum of kids in our program now, kids who just arrived 3 weeks ago and are taking those classes only with ESOL, with other English language learners. But then we have students who have actually placed out of ESOL and are in mainstream classes with other eighth graders and doing very well.
And do you have a fair amount of interaction with their parents as well? Because the parents are in need of a lot of help too. They're getting resettled in a totally different new place. I mean, the challenges of that are just mind-boggling to anybody who thinks about it for a minute.
Yeah, so when new students come to our program, whether that's when they arrive in the middle of seventh grade or when they've matriculated up and start in sixth grade, we do a home visit. And at that time, we meet the family, you know, the parents, find out what other students are in the household, what their personal educational goals are for themselves and for their students. And then we check in with them regularly, you know, if there's an issue or just, you know, at the end of the year to, you know, see if everything is going well with them and if they have any feedback for the program. We're trying to get more parent involvement at our after-school program. So we just had a national Lights On after-school event in October where we got a small grant to invite families in. And we invited some families cooked their traditional food and shared that with the other families. So that was great to have. But our mentor program, which I mentioned earlier, is probably the most intensive and frequent interaction with families. And we ask those mentors who visit the families once a week to report back to us on how things are going with the families and if there's any issues we should know of. Yeah.
Well, thanks to all of you for coming this afternoon and thanks for the work you're doing. God bless. And I want to keep in touch with everybody so we see how things progress. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
Emily Sherman directs Soccer Without Borders. Marilyn Brittany Young runs B360. Noel Acton is the founder and director of the Tender Bridge. And Abby Marco is the director of Squashwise. We'll have more information about all four of these programs on our website, wypr.org/midday. We want to thank our production assistant, Morgan Ome, for her help with this conversation. And thanks to you for being with us today on Midday. Coming up after a quick break, theater critic J. Wynn Russick is here with her weekly review. We're going to talk about A Wonder in My Soul at Baltimore Center Stage. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us. Thank you.